Last month, a group of Christians in Butler, known as the Church Without Walls, brought lunch to the city fire hall and had a bit of time just socializing with some of our firefighters and with each other. It was a great group of people from very different churches, different theological backgrounds, the whole bit. And while I was getting my sandwich, a pastor from one of our other churches came up to me and said, "So what does your church believe about healing?" And I confess, I don't know if I physically stepped back like 3 feet, but I felt that at least in my head. I had come prepared to have lunch at the fire hall. I did not come prepared for deep theological questions. And anyway, I must have had like scared pastor face or something. And nature sort of abhors, or I should say people abhor awkward silences. So after a couple of minutes of me just stammering, the fellow started in with his own stories about what he believed about healing and how he had even healed people through the laying on of hands, that he had made physical cures come, and when people have enough faith, anything is possible. And while he was talking, if my mouth had been stammering before, now it was my spirit stammering. Because at that moment, while he was talking about faith and healing, all I could envision was my friend Kara, who I grew up with in our youth group, whose little boy was not healed of his disease. And I could see some of your faces, and I could remember some of the prayers that I've made over time for people, and, well, the fact of the matter is that there's a lot of faith out there, and it doesn't always lead to cure, physically, I mean. And so since that moment, I'd wondered, well, what is it then that we do believe in about healing, and what does it mean to pray for it? And what does it mean when it's beyond physical cure? And what do we make of words in the gospel when Jesus says, "Your faith has healed you, go in peace," or "Little girl, get up"? For when I opened my Bible this week to discover that this was the gospel story, a story within a story, rather, so to speak, two stories, one of Jairus' little daughter at the point of death, and Jesus going to raise her up, and sandwiched within that the story of an older woman who had separated for as many years as the little girl was old, 12 with hemorrhages, reaching out to just touch Jesus' cloak. What does it mean to pray for healing? What does it mean that Jesus healed those people, and yet, for us, we still live in a world in which faith and cure are not always the same thing, connected to one another. In the week, as I've been pondering those precise questions, here's what I've come to. In the face of such questions, it's okay to stammer. It's okay to be silent. And it's okay not to have answers. In fact, Jesus, at the very end of today's gospel story, tells the people who are gathered with him in Jairus' house not to go out and tell anyone about what he has done. And I'm convinced it's because that somehow he knew that we would probably misinterpret all of it, and that we would make out of these stories an axiom about our faith that somehow paints faith as this kind of power that we carry within ourselves, in through which we can manipulate God to do whatever it is we want. And so when it doesn't happen that way, we blame ourselves, thinking, well, maybe I don't have enough faith to get God to do what I want God to do. Or maybe it's my fault that I'm sick. Or maybe God isn't good. You know, I think it is okay to work through all of those things, one right after another, in the presence of God, because I am convinced that the reason that Jesus says at the end of this story not to tell anyone about what he has done in Jairus' house and to the woman who came and touched his cloak, I am convinced that the reason he said to his disciples not to say anything is because he wanted us to read to the end of the story. He wanted us to read to the part about Good Friday, and the part about Easter. The part where God comes to us to declare that God is with us in suffering. The part where God comes to us to declare that, no, with God, life is not perfect, and it wasn't even perfect for Jesus. In fact, when you tell the whole truth about Jesus' own story, it's a story in which he's hurting, in which he's abandoned, in which he gives up his life, in which his friends say goodbye. And only after all of those things comes the breaking in of hope that nobody on earth sees. Only God and the Father with God the Son in the power of the Holy Spirit deep in a dark tomb somewhere between Saturday and Sunday. And when we think about healing, and when we think about what it means to be made whole, or what it means to be made well, the Greek word that's used in the story that in these stories about the woman and the girl, the Greek word that's used there, it can be, is actually translated other places, be saved, not just simply be made well, not simply be made cured, but be saved. That word is connected to being taking our part and kneeling and taking, letting go all of our hope before this crucified, suffering, and yet resurrected Jesus. In the hope that that sign of the cross is marked on all of our foreheads as a sign and a symbol, in our baptism, as a sign and a symbol that God is with us no matter what. In healing services in this congregation, if you are to come next week, or if you were here a couple of weeks ago, we lay on hands and we make that sign of the cross with oil as a reminder of whose we are, as a comfort that the Holy Spirit is with us and that God's grace is for us. And no, that doesn't mean that we are always going to be made well physically, but that we can, no matter what, be surrounded by community, that we can find connection in a relationship to a God who will not let us go. When you read backwards, back from the cross and back from the empty tomb, and you go back again to these stories of the little girl and the older woman, you can see many moments in this gospel that are healing moments that don't have anything to do with physical cure. Consider, for example, how Jesus just takes time with both of these people. How when the synagogue leader comes, even though there's a big crowd around him, and even though he just got off a boat, he has the time to listen to what this father has to say and to go with him. And even when he's on that desperate errand, when a woman comes and touches his cloak, he doesn't just keep on moving. He takes the time to pause. He wants to know who it is that's coming. Read through the cross and the empty tomb, what this story can say to us is that God has time for you. He wants to know all about what it is that you're suffering. And that can be a form of healing, just that connectedness to God. Or consider how when Jesus finally figures out who the woman is, when she steps forward, she comes forward in fear and trembling, but she kneels and is able to tell the whole truth, and she is heard. If you've ever had a moment in which somebody has listened to you tell your whole truth, you can know what a release of, you might know what a release of a burden that can be. Just the telling and listening can be a form of freedom. And consider also that last scene where Jesus goes to Jairus' house. There's a whole group of people there, and they don't have helpful things to say. If you've ever suffered illness or walked with someone who has, you know that sometimes you can be surrounded by people who have their own ideas, and those ideas aren't always very helpful. And what does Jesus do? He kicks them out. That too, I imagine, at that moment, could be a form of healing. To only allow yourself to be surrounded by people who continue to witness to grace. People who will walk with you and not tell you you're wrong. And there are many other moments besides. I bet you could find them in this story. I bet that we could be open to them when we're set free from the thought that somehow cure and healing, well, it's not about how good I am or how strong I am or how faithful I am, but it's about God's promise to love us no matter what and to come and to be with us in our life and in our death until that day when Easter, when it's for all of us. Amen.